Hello, I am Yogini Sunita, and this is Meditation, Yoga and Stuff podcast. I believe my dharma or my life's purpose is to share my understanding of meditation, yoga and Ayurveda, holistic healing science of India. I make these amazing wisdoms accessible and adaptable for present times. So let's start.
Welcome, Sunita. So nice to have the opportunity to chat with you again, my soul sister, all the way from Australia. Sunita is a master yogini, a master meditation, do you call it coach, or what would you say there? Meditation coach. And a master Ayurvedic practitioner. So we're super lucky.
I would say master, but I would say that I know Ayurveda enough to blend it with yoga and meditation. So yeah.
Perfect.
I'm
definitely going to know more than me and definitely going to know more than probably the average person. Although I thankfully picked up a book on Ayurvedic medicine about 23 years ago. And it did change my life. So I'm so excited to learn more from you. I also have some questions. And so I guess we thought, and I'm Kristen, founder of Soul Tribe Camp, global mastermind retreats around the world. And also we do Your Life by Design and the Magic in You program. So welcome everybody. We wanted today to just have a kind of deep dive, but on a all-encompassing level, just this, what is Ayurvedic medicine and what are the, I think there's three doshas, but then also go more into just how that affects your life and how we can really, like Sunita and I always like to talk about, kind of bridge East meets West. So with that, Sunita, how would you describe Ayurvedic medicine to the general population?
Ayurvedic medicine is a healing science from India. It is a holistic medicine. And a heart of Ayurvedic medicine is wisdom comes from meditation. So the ancient beings realized when humans started settling into the city life, they realized that for city life, we need to have some little bit discipline for our health, better health, optimal health. Because once we started settling down, our obviously lifestyle changed. And these principles are still very much applicable today because they are so profound, you know, and they're very common sense and you can adapt them to basically day-to-day life. And in Ayurveda, what we call it is dinacharya, that means daily routine is very valuable. And prevention is the key. So what does that mean is, well, you know, things like viruses and things like, you know, colds and coughs and flus and things like that are always there some way, some form or some way or the other. Season change happens. So all these things are bound to happen. So how do we deal with that? How do we deal with this? So to build our immune system, and how can we build our immune system is through regular practices, which basically cleansing practices. Ayurveda has some 20 steps in the morning, which you can do. But I know that living in busy life, you don't have to do
20 steps. I'm lucky if I wash my face.
Yeah. But they sound 20, like they sound like, oh my God, 20 steps. What the hell is she talking about? But it's basically in Ayurveda, like evacuation of the bowel, first thing in the morning is very important. And then cleansing. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's important. And we all know that how important that is. Like it's a gut health thing, right? If that's not happening, then we need to adjust our diet so that, you know, and next day you can easily go in the morning. Then the second is basically cleansing the teeth. And then we use tongue cleaner. So evacuation in Ayurveda, we call something called ama. That means toxic morbid waste of our system. Okay, so whatever food we do not digest is circulating in our system in the form of something called ama. Ama is that waste product. So we get rid of that.
What?
Ama. A-M. So I need to write this down. So A-M-A. Ama.
And what is it though? You said it's...
It's a toxic, morbid waste of our digestive products. So, for example, if something which is not digested in our system, it circulates in our system as a toxic product, and it's called ama in Ayurveda. And what happens that it circulates in our system and it goes to the weak point in our system and it sits there, and then there manifests the disease. And that's Ayurveda's way of looking at it. So how to move towards our optimal health is noticing that, okay, where ama is going to, you know, going to be. So it will be in our gut. So how about we evacuate the bowels in the morning, and then tongue cleaning, because in our mouth, so brush your teeth and then use a silver spoon, or you can use a tongue cleaner, you can buy them online, and you can clean your tongue. So you poke it out and remove the white or the whatever the parts. You have to be very gentle with that. Remove,
you know, that the tongue actually goes from like all the way through your system.
Yeah, so it's almost like almost starts from here, but we don't cleanse the, like, really deep that much. We just poke it out and just use that silver spoon wherever you feel comfortable, you know, and just get rid of that film on the top of your coating on top of your tongue.
And do you do that with like toothpaste or anything, or just that?
No, just the silver spoon, or sometimes you can buy really good tongue cleaners. There are there in organic shops or health food shops and things like that. So you'll find that. And once you've done that, you rinse your mouth, gargle your mouth, and then you got rid of like the toxic from up and down. So, you know, and then you drink
it. Just 40 steps.
Yes, I've already done quite a few steps now. And then you drink a warm glass of water, as we were talking the other day, like just slightly more than room temperature. Not as hot as your tea, slightly less hot as your tea, but a little bit more than your room temperature. And you drink that, and that helps to get rid of remaining ama from your system. So this is the practice. If you can do that, and then if you can sit for meditation after that, or if you have like a physical practice like yoga asana or running or jogging, do that. Come back home, sit for a minute, just, you know, notice a minute, I mean, how much ever your time have, like sit there, observe what's happening in your system. A meditation is really powerful to start our day. It kind of like creates this positive reservoir of energy. So if you can squeeze that in the morning, you don't have to do like hours and hours, like 5 minutes to 10 minutes is quite sufficient. That's your morning. And then you're ready to, you know, take shower, and you're ready to face the world.
And can I just say something? And it's a question, but also a statement. I've done meditation for years, and I've done a practice of, you know, what became really deep meditation, I would say. And now one of the main like hooks to me being able to meditate so quickly is actually music. So I've used a lot of Kundalini music because I've done a lot of chanting and, you know, and meditations to it. And then also I love to paint. And so is it okay like to paint, just to let people know, you know, and within this practice of Ayurvedic medicine, I guess is the question, just to do your meditation, like you were saying in yoga, but also like if that for you, like my mornings I keep for myself, right? And I do all of my stuff, and painting is one of, either I do my yoga practice or I do a painting, and that's a meditation zone for me. So is it just anything where it's time for self, or do you suggest very specifically sitting by yourself, no music, thinking third eye?
No, those practices are not, they're not too bad. Like they're amazing, actually, I should say. That's the right word. And these are called pratyahara practices. That means we almost learning to focus our senses, but that's not meditation yet. So meditation still from Ayurvedic and yogic point of view is sitting in stillness. But having said that, the practices you're doing, creating relaxation response and one-pointedness or focus in your system. So it's going to give you a tremendous benefit, as from the, you're removing yourself from flight and fight towards, you know, from sympathetic towards parasympathetic mode. So it is very beneficial. Find a way to do that. And if you can sit in stillness for 5 minutes, you'll find that there is a difference. There is a difference in those practices. And the regularity is very important, because Ayurveda is all about, you know, these kind of like routines make us, or rituals make us, like having your morning free for yourself we kind of like create these self-care routines, and Ayurveda values that a lot. Like, you know, the busyness of the world is always going to be there, but how we nurture ourselves matters, and Ayurveda is very common sense. So, and also whatever works for you is very unique, and you know yourself the best. So choose practices which really works for you. So if the painting works for you, or the Kundalini and mantra works for you, then go for it. Like, there is no right or wrong, to be very frank, you know, because as I say, like, you know yourself the best, and you know what works and what doesn't work. So you don't have to copy anyone, or you don't have to think that, oh my God, I'm not doing meditation practice, it should be like that. No, it's not like that. Choose right. what works for you. Yeah.
It is a different practice though, when you're very silent and just like sitting, you know, so I'm going to make sure that I also put that in every day again.
Yeah, just few moments, you know.
Yeah.
And that brings us so much. Yeah. And you were mentioning about the three types of what you call it? We call it in Ayurvedic constitution.
Okay.
That means to make sense of all this, like, you know, human, why we behave in certain way, why all these things are not applicable to everyone. For example, in Ayurveda, the practitioner will look at the patient or client and notice what's happening, like the whole picture is taken into consideration.
Right.
And so they will, so they started noticing that there are like, we have almost like certain trends in certain people which are repeating. And so they call it Vata, Pitta and Kapha. Yep. So I know, don't let the name scare you. Unfortunately, there is no direct translation in English, but I'll explain what it means. So Vata means this kind of person is very light. So it's a quality of air, you know, so air is constantly moving. It's light, and it also, like, this kind of person has like a whirlwind. They will enter the rooms, and they also crash and burn happens really quickly in this person. Okay, so this,
when I read that book 23 years ago, I was like, I am a Vata.
Yeah.
So just a quick question: do these, before you go even any further into them, do they shift with time and life, or once you one, you will always be this one? And I know you can be kind of, I could be Vata / Pitta, or I could be just Vata, but do they change in time or no?
So we are born with certain traits. So for example, you know, our height, our bone structure, our eye color, our hair color, these are the things we are born with, which are called Prakriti. And that helps the Ayurvedic practitioner to understand your Prakriti. Okay, so Prakriti means your innate nature or your constitution.
Okay.
There is a concept, something called Vikriti. What does that mean is when person is with the wrong lifestyle, when the things are toppled, and so the Vata person, maybe their Vata goes out of whack, or they prone to the diseases and things like that, then that means, and they start thinking that, oh my God, this is who I am. But that's actually their Vikriti. That means they're at imbalance at this moment. So with correct lifestyle practices and choices, they can come back to their optimal health, but they will come back to their Vataness. And all these constitutions are amazing. There is nothing wrong in these constitutions. So people, a lot of time people will say that, oh my God, I'm Vata. That means I'm not, you know, I'm this and I'm that. But all these constitutions are right for your constitution. So there is no right, you know, don't feel bad that, oh my God, I'm this, I'm that, you know.
Okay, and, one more question.
Yeah.
How would people know, so they can follow along saying, oh, I think, you know, I resonate with Vata, Pitta, or Kapha. How will they know what they are? Is there astrologically, like you're checking into your sign, for example, or do they need to come to a practitioner like you who can determine that, or are there sets of questions? How would that work?
Best way to do it is go to Ayurvedic practitioner, or you can do the questionnaires, but a lot of time people get more confused with the questions. And that's what my clients told me. Yeah. So if you have a Ayurvedic practitioner around you, and please find out like what is their experience and their studies. you know, because traditionally in India, the Ayurveda is studied for 7-8 years, and it is in Sanskrit, and it's like deep wisdom. But there are amazing, like my Ayurvedic guru, Dr. Vasant Lad, is in Albuquerque in USA half of the year, and half of the year is in India. So if people can tap into that. Or, and again, I'm not getting any anything from that. I'm just want people to understand that, you know, that there are amazing Ayurveda practitioners. I still go to Dr. Lad's, you know, and learn from him. He's just amazing. He's a living legend of Ayurveda. Wow. There are also many other, what I can do is I can also create dosha quiz and see if that helps people to, you know.
That would be amazing, because I don't remember who wrote the book that I read years ago, but I to this day still don't know for certain. Now I'm lucky because Sunita is also my friend, not just a guest, but, you know, so maybe you can help me determine that. And then, you know, other people can obviously reach out to you direct. But I think that, yeah, like I've always been curious. I've always felt like I was kind of at a pit of mix. I definitely didn't resonate with Kapha, but I'm not certain. And I think if you could do a little questionnaire like that, that would be so beautiful. And then people could just, you know, we can figure out.
Yeah. And they can connect with me if they have, you know, questions.
Amazing. Yes. Thank you. And, okay. So I interrupted, but now I just feel like it might be a bit easier for everybody, because I'm trying to ask what my questions are, and I have at least a little bit of understanding. And so you were going further into so you don't call them doshas. I always thought they were called doshas, the three.
Yes, they are called doshas. They call dosha actually comes from a word dusha, that means moving towards imbalance, but it is not really, in this case, it is not really, it is what it is. It is your prakruti. And it is defined on so many things, you know, it defined on your parents' prakriti at the time of conception, what were the circumstances, what they ate. So there are a lot of wisdom.
Wow.
It's fascinating. And also, you know, seven generations of karma, we call it in Ayurveda. That means your seven generations of ancestral karma from both sides. But science backs it up also. Modern science, if they do DNA genetics information now, they also start talking about that we carry seven generations of information in our system. I mean, it's amazing how the Ayurvedic medicine is fantastic. So let's move towards second constitution, which is Pitta, which is fiery personality. So these are the people. So Vata people have amazing imagination. They are the creative thinking is these people's thing to do. Okay. So these are beautiful imagination, amazing ideas. They are just like the thoughts process is so fantastic. These ideas, they're just more like connected with the divine in such a way that the idea flows through. It could be art. It could be any creation you see on the earth is from there. This came from Vata people. Now, Pitta people are the people who are the doers, who will get this idea and make it happen. So these are people who are movers and shakers. These are the natural born leaders. These are the fiery people, because with their fire, they can get things done. So it's amazing how it's accurate. Like you can see that, you know, these Pitta people cannot sit quiet without doing anything. You know, they have a lot of drive to do it. And they are also amazing. They're grasping, their intellect is amazing. And you can see that behind their eyes. So I'm going to, is it okay if I say this in public, your constitution? Or should
Oh my gosh, yes. Please use me as the example.
I think
doing these things. So yes, please. That's actually, this was my, I was manifesting this. So yes, I'm ready.
Yeah. So I think your constitution is Pitta Vata.
Okay.
The reason for that is you are doer, you are that driving force. You can be so supportive that you can get things done. And also the Vata comes from your ideas, your creations, your, you know, your art, your that connection with the divine that is coming from that. So both are there. At the moment, though, Vata is a little bit imbalanced. So that's why I suggested to the other way, the food, root vegetables steamed, and you know, cumin on that, and ginger and garlic if you want.
And
turmeric, and all those things will help you to ground. So with the vata imbalance, the mind goes really fast, moves fast. So we want it to slow down. So connection with the Mother Earth helps. And then you can draw upon your, once that calms down, then your driving force, your pitta will take over. At the moment, it is overwhelmed with the vata. But that was like 2 weeks ago, not today. Today is your... So centered and
just a little.
Yeah. But that happens with, especially with women, with our periods, with our hormonal, so everything plays into this, you know. So that's the thing.
would sleep play a role in this? Okay, so sleep is a ground practice.
Sleep is a very nurturing and grounding practice, and it is beneficial for all dosha, whereas kapha dosha, the third one, love to sleep. So they should reduce their sleep. That's their problem.
I dated a kapha. I was like, wake up!
Yes.
What are you doing?
So let's move toward the third one, which is kapha dosha. Kapha dosha is... dosha where these are the administrators of the world. These are the people, if you give them a rule book, they will know each and every rule and they will follow each and every rule. So you need all, can you see like we need all three, hand in hand. Yeah. So these are...
And of course, I'm thinking of different friends. I think might be this or that,
and kapha people are very nurturing, can be very caring. So they can be very, you know, those are the people who will tell you, come sit next to me, have a cup of tea and tell me what's happening in your life. And so they're very, they can hold the space very beautifully. They're very gentle hearted. They will support others. But with kapha people, then sometimes they give too much and they don't look after themselves. And that's their biggest drawback. And also they put on weight really quickly compared to vata and pitta. Like for pitta can eat anything and they hardly put on weight. And vata person will eat sometimes too much and sometimes too little, and that balances out everything. Sure. Whereas a kapha person, you know, sometimes people say that, even if I just inhale, I just smell food, I feel
food. Yes. I definitely know I have a kappa in my life and I don't want to say that person, but like this person always says that. But also that book that I read was so fascinating to me. And this is how I sort of predetermined. I think I'm primarily vata with pitta. So it's so validating to have you say that. But one interesting thing was then they went further, and I'm guessing this is something you can do too. I mean, probably not in this phone call, but with people individually, was they had like, they had said like the vata is more maybe say athletic looking, you know, not too soon. The pitta can be more slim and the vata can be more tendency to smell food and gain weight. And then they had foods that were actually perfect for each specific dosha. And, you know, I don't know, but say like a vata should have bananas, but not a kapha, or I don't know. Is that something that you...
Yeah, there are specific foods, and I'm going to go back and say something. So the vata person is usually slight. They may be pitted or they may be long, but they're thin usually. But imbalanced vata can put on weight. So that happens too, and I have seen that quite often. But they're delicate bones, let me put it that way. They have delicate bones, okay? And pitta person is everything sharp. They have almost like a muscly body. They love to work out. They will make sure that there is no inch of fat in their body. These are the people who are running at, you know, in peak summer, they will running at 12 o'clock, you know, blood red face. But these are pitta people, you know, they...
They're driven. They're so driven.
And so pitta person needs to learn how to relax, how to find calm. You know, they're constantly driven. If they do one project, they already, if it is almost to coming towards the end, and if it is successful, even though everyone says, wow, this is amazing, they don't take a breather, they will just jump on to the next project. And that's the pitta personality, you know. And they will be, these are the people who are constantly learning, constantly doing hundreds of courses, they have drive to learn, constantly learn. So these are the people will doing like, they're massive knowledge base. Like they
sound like really brain oriented, yeah. Right? And also, like I say, notice people in relationships, for example, some people when the relationship breaks up, they must have another one, and other people need space because they like to, they must keep the busy. So there's like maybe not as much like retrospection. No. Is Pitta more mind based? Yes.
They have very intelligent mind, extremely intelligent mind, extremely high grasping capacity of knowledge. But again, and let me explain Kapha, and let me explain a little bit more the combination, because don't get hang into that, oh my God, I'm this, like we can, as we've seen in your case, like there are two combination of two things, and there could be even three combinations together, and there could be just one dominant. And this is why you need Ayurvedic practitioner or person who can help you to understand what's happening. So the Kapha person is a slow moving person in general. So they need their 8 hours sleep. They find mornings very difficult. They need their kick of coffee in the morning to function. But that could sometimes happen to even Vata or Pitta if they didn't get right sleep. So the sleep factor makes a lot of difference. So Pitta person may just need 4 to 6 hours sleep, but Kapha person will need minimum 8 hours of sleep. So that's their, you know, and they're not necessarily, some lot of time people say the Kapha person is big looking, not necessarily. Right. Because in modern world, we are very conscious of not putting on, you know, weight. So, but that doesn't mean that a person is not Kapha or so you will see the bone can be a little bit heavier. You can see that person like squarish kind of shape, and you know, there are a lot of wisdom goes behind like how to determine that. You can even look at someone's face and tell that, you know, what dosha they are, and it is a study.
Like from roundness or the heart shaped or like that. Oh,
okay. Yeah, and the eyes and the lot of things like the hair, what's happening, and that's why in Ayurveda and yoga, it is believed that we are unique fingerprint of divine. So best thing is not to compare ourselves with even our twin, if you have a twin, because the twin is also, even though identical twin, has a unique traits in them. So we are very blessed in a way to have these uniqueness. And, you know, and the beauty of these doshas is when we understand what we are, then we can modify our diet. We can draw upon, like, if for example, in your case, you have this amazing imagination, at the same time, you have this drive. And you naturally understood that, and you combined that so beautifully, and you're inspiring so much, so many people, you know.
Hold up just for 1 second, because they didn't always naturally, but yes, and that's where the magic of you was born, that entire program. Because when I didn't honor that, like when I wasn't living from my ultimate truth and purpose and that unique thumbprint that is me that you said, it was off. It was really off balance. And once I really stepped into alignment of both and into my essence and dharma, it's been magic. So,
I mean, isn't that so true? Like you said it so beautifully that, you know, we will flumble a little bit in darkness till we find the right thing, you know, and otherwise, how will we know? How we will know that, you know, that doesn't suit me and this suits me, no, this works for me and this is right. And then the more you start, so oops happens and that's okay.
Yes, I've post on it. It's like uncomfortability is the price of admission, because until you really feel like, oh, for me, it's like, I don't want to put another subway tile in somebody's house, you know? And if somebody loves doing design and that lights you up, but I wanted to take my design more into my human design, right? And really the depths of that. And was like, there's the change. That's the magic right there, is the changing the 2 to the 4. Like everything that's happening to me is happening for me, so I can take over control of my, you know, this beautiful human life that we have. It's something like crazy. It's something like 450 billion chances to be a human, and we got to be here. So we really have to like seize the day.
Yes, in Ayurveda and yoga philosophy mainly, it is said that we go through 1,000 life and death cycles, and then we get the birth as a human form. And you can still see that some beings are still in their animalistic nature. You can still see that some people have been on earth before, and you can see wiseness as a child is born. You can see sometimes the you know, wisdom in their eyes, and you see that they've been here before, and then you see also that, you know, a lot of anger. And so this is all like, you know, our path. And that's why Ayurveda and yoga doesn't judge anyone. It is what it is, that's accepted. And then how can we help from that place? So, you know, so that's where, you know, and you can, it is also believed that whatever practice you do this lifetime will burn the seeds of bad karma from previous life, even your ancestral bad karma. So it's a powerful thing. Yes. So, yeah, so did I answer all your questions? Any other questions?
Yes, I wanted to say one other thing, but I'm just like, so, oh, and then I'll go on and ask you if there was anything else there too that you wanted to add to the doshas. But I guess, losing my train of thought. Oh, this is what I wanted to say. This is why I love yoga so much. You know, when I was 20 years old, I was on a cruise ship and I met this woman, and she was 40 something, 43, mm-hmm. I think. And she looked like just, she was so beautiful. And she was in the gym. And I said, what are you doing? She was doing all these postures. And 23 something years ago, nobody was doing
that. Yoga, yes.
Like, nobody. And I was like, what is this woman doing? And I had been teaching aerobics and doing all the things in the gym. And already at such a young age, like my 20s, my body was hurting. And she said, it's yoga. And I was like, what is yoga? And she said, She said, well, it'll keep your mind young, your body young, everything about you young. And I said, if it's going to make me, I was all like about, if it's going to make me look like you, I'm going to do yoga. And the yoga journey for me has been like, it's so hard to explain to people, you know, if they say, oh, well, do you do retreats, for example? Because yes, we often have yoga instructors who will come. And why do we not, you know, for example, we could have aerobics instructors also come, and we could have somebody else doing physical training who would come as a facilitator. But the magic of yoga goes so much further than just, oh, we have yoga, take a class, right? Yeah. And this is what I love so much about you, Sunita, because it's, you know, and I know we're talking about Ayurvedic, you know, as you as a practitioner, but this yoga, being a yogini, spans so much more, and it's just like so all-encompassing and really... Yeah. Has served me so well. I can't tell you how many times, you know, having a young child, I was just like, namaste.
Yes.
I would have lost my shit if not, you know?
I totally get it. Oh my God. And for me, like I was working in corporate world. I always had yoga. My grandmother was my first guru. It almost like was like, I couldn't escape it, you know? But
it's your karma.
I must have done something right in my
life. I know, lucky you.
But you know, it was like always there. And then I started working in corporate world, and I didn't have time, and I was like constantly busy. My job was very, you know, in computer field. Everything was deadline. Everything was needed yesterday, and I realized that, oh my God, I'm not doing my practices, you know, and that's why my mind is going so vata, like, you know, and so I started.
Wait, are you vata too?
No, but it can be imbalance. And so everyone can have, so we all have all the five elements from Ayurveda, and all of these, any of these can go imbalance. And sometimes if your mind is wandering, even though you may not vata dosha, your vata element is in imbalance. And that's why you need Ayurvedic practitioner to understand what's happening, and they will give you right practices, okay? So I was like, in my mind was constantly wondering, I started meditating and asana practice. I mean, for me, just the freedom of movement, you know, it just gives so much. And that has been always there. Then I moved to USA, and the cultural shock from the other way around. So when people visit India, they get cultural shock. I got a different cultural shock, and it was, everything was new. Everything was different than what I was used to. I lived in hustle bustle cities like Mumbai for a few years. So it wasn't that I didn't know the hustle bustle, but it was different, you know, what I was used to. No judgment there. So I had to kind of work my head, wrap my head around, and yoga. Like, I mean, yoga helped me so much. Oh, it just, for me, yoga and Ayurveda goes hand in hand. And that's what I teach. I do not do the Ayurvedic herbs, but what I prescribe is yoga practices. So I mean, I will suggest the food if needed, but what I suggest is like, you know, have root vegetable, things like that. It's not like specific, like, you know. Yeah.
It was pretty easy to get grounded 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Like, feed yourself good food, all growing under the earth, right? Root vegetables, add some turmeric, some spices, some sea salt, exactly. Olive oil, and you're good.
And this you just did with your intuition. And that's what I want for my client to come back to, rather than depending on me for anything, coming back to their intuition, because we are our own guru, and coming back to listening to inner guru. So all I suggested to you, I think through Instagram, eat root vegetables, and you came up with dishes, and you came up. So that's,
I went to the store and bought every single root vegetable they had. Yeah. From Asia to like North, from all over, and some things I didn't even know what they were. I couldn't even pronounce the name, but it was fun.
Yeah.
I like to put fun into everything, right? And these are the ways you can do it.
Exactly. And it's just like, you know, connection with the Mother Earth is very grounding. And that's why the Vata Dosha is imbalanced all over the world now. Our mind is wandering a lot because we're not connecting with the Mother Earth that much. So we are hardly walking bare feet on grass or on Mother Earth. So we're constantly wearing shoes. So that connection is losing. So,
and people live in high rises. So their feet aren't even close to the ground.
Exactly. So going to nature, you know, tree hugging is fantastic.
it's a thing. Like, you really can, when you do it, especially if you do it with nobody around, where you're not feeling like, hey, I'm just making a joke and I feel like a moron hugging a tree. Yeah. But when you go, like, because I'm in Vancouver, so we have deep, like, rainforests, right? And when you go and actually hug a tree and take some deep breaths with it, it's like you can feel it breathe with you. And it's magical.
Yeah, it's, you feel held and you feel so connected with that, this being, which is, you know, been ancient being on this earth for many years. We in Australia also, we have these massive eucalyptus trees. They are really massive, like tall trees. Yeah. And they're fascinating, and they change color in, some of them change color in, you know, during the season. So we have rainbow, like in my backyard, I have rainbow eucalyptus tree where when it shades the skin, the inside is almost like a rainbow.
We're going to need to do a whole like Sundays with Sunita and the plants. I just offered to, and my time, I have, like, as you know, there's not much time available for other things, but I'm volunteering in a flower store for some hours. I have to be the plant trees. Yeah. But we can have a whole show on that one.
Yes, plants are amazing. I mean, and your Ayurveda wisdom is it's all about relationship, our relationship with the Mother Earth, with the food we eat, with each other, with our practices. It's a science of relationship.
With, like, as I studied shamanism in Costa Rica some years ago, I went deep in that. And I also suffered, well, it came up for me, a lot of trauma throughout my life, and then a big revelation. And they would say, just give it to the earth.
Yeah.
Like, she can handle it. And so you would just, like, literally go to your knees and put your head down on the ground. Then when I was there, I had shocking traumatic news while I was in Costa Rica. And it was like, I literally just fell to the ground without even thinking. And I realized just how beautiful that practice is, right? Yeah. And like, actually, somebody in mental health just asked me recently, and he was like, yeah, but what about Mother Earth? And I was like, well, they literally told us, like, she can handle it. And so, you know, so I thought,
she gives us so much. She has capacity. Exactly. She allowed us to live on her because she loves us, and she's giving us so much, you know.
I had similar experience
in Bali. It was a similar thing. Like, I was in child's pose and my forehead was resting there, and I just I felt like a massive, like, you know, trauma leaving my body into the Mother Earth.
Right, and I didn't even put two and two together actually now until this moment with shamanism and how child's pose is the head down. So,
yeah. Oh, yoga is all about energy. I can talk and talk about that. Like, it's
if there's one thing we're not lacking, it's talking and talking.
Exactly. We love talking, don't we? I was looking at time. I think we should wrap up today here. Then maybe we'll do something. We'll do a more deeper one some other time. So
Let's do a deeper dive. Maybe we should do a deeper dive into each dosha when you get the questionnaire for people to, so they can figure out which one that they are.
Yeah.
If we could, we'll somehow get people like a free questionnaire so they can opt in, and then we'll have different ones. Would be fun.
Yeah, I already have a list somewhere. I'll just send it to you, and we'll figure out how to put it there. So
we make it happen. Perfect.
Yes.
Okay, so awesome. Okay, well, I'll see you next week, Sunita.
See you next week. Bye. Thank you.
Ciao.
Thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate that you're taking this time out of your day. Don't forget to subscribe. Take care. Bye for now.